Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, we are thankful for the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Lord, help us to see, understand, and know what you're talking about. Give light and revelation to us as we look to your word. And Lord, as we do, we promise to you and make that commitment back to you that we won't be just hearers only, but we'll be doers as much as we know of what you've shown us. And we know that as we're doers of the word, we'll be blessed in what we do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to go ahead and open up to Acts, actually go to Matthew 1, and I'm just going to read something to you that I've been thinking about. In thinking about the series and the emphasis the Lord has placed on being balanced when it comes to the subject of being led by the Holy Spirit in our lives, one thing that I do not want the church to go away with is a fear or disdain for the moving and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." In the 1 Thessalonians 5:19 in the Mirror Bible says, "Do not suffocate the flame of the spirit within you." In verse 21 it says, "Test everything like one would test gold to determine its value. Then treasure that which is precious with great care." God desires that we allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate as He wills, and there is legitimate value to these gifts. I have operated in them to minister to others, and I have had others operate in them for me, and they have been a great blessing to me and many others. My purpose is to bring balance where there has been unbalance, to bring correction and direction where there has been misuse of these things. I really believe that we are going to see a great increase of these gifts in our church and in the church in general. Not only in our services, but also in people's individual lives. God is going to deal with us by the Holy Spirit, and we are going to minister all over, and I put this, our worlds, okay? So a lot of times people think, when they think in terms of the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that, they think in terms of the minister doing that. But the gifts of the Spirit are for every believer. They are not just for the minister. Now, ministers will carry certain gifts. Like prophets, true prophets, will carry the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. They'll carry the discerning of spirits. They'll carry the true gift of prophecy, not the simple gift of prophecy, but one of forth-telling. You're telling about what's going to happen in the future. And we saw that through the scriptures. So those gifts will operate. There are ministers that carry gifts of healings, gifts of miracles. And we could teach on these things, and I probably should. I know some people understand these things, some people don't. And so just realize they're in 1 Corinthians 12. They're there, and when we get to them, we'll get to them. If you want to get to them before I teach on them, I can recommend materials to you, and you can get a hold of them. And a lot of times, some of the ones that I'd be able to recommend to you don't cost anything. You'd just be able to download those messages. I know I did an extended teaching on the gifts of the Spirit when I was in about 4 years ago in Dickinson, North Dakota. I did three nights of the Northern Plains Believers Rally, and I just went through the gifts of the Spirit in detail. And I have that teaching still, and I'll have to go through it sometime, but I just haven't felt like I should at this point. So, moving on here, I am purposed, and I would ask that you would be purposed as well to move forward in the things of God and continue to develop to a place of full maturity so that we can operate in truth at an elevated level. Let's purpose to desire excellence or maturity in all we do, being quick to repent and change as the Holy Spirit deals with us. Spiritual maturity is never a detriment to the will of God or to your own personal life. I wrote that down and I thought, oh yeah, that's really good. I mean, you can never go wrong. There are people that, and it's not every group. Sometimes I'll generalize and I get myself into trouble, but there are some people that don't even consider the gifts of the Spirit in their denomination. They think that all of that stopped when the apostles died. They're what are called cessationists. We are not cessationists here. We believe that God is still God, and that the scriptures that say over and over again, I am the God, I change not, he meant it. You know, he meant for it to keep going. The cessationist, here's my argument with the cessationist, and I have scripture to prove they're wrong. Okay? Now, they believe in salvation, which we agree on that. But as far as the gifts of the Spirit go, what they say is that those gifts were for the apostles only to establish the church. The only problem with that is that the book of Acts records several people that are not apostles, the original 12, that operated in the gifts of the Spirit. So then that doctrine is blown up. Because in order to have a solid doctrine, you have to have solid scriptures around it. And the moment you find one that's contrary, now you got to start looking and going, okay, how do we make this fit? Okay, and so, and honestly, I've looked, they can't. They just can't make it fit. You can make the Bible say almost anything you want, but if you keep things in context of chapter, in context of book, and in context of the whole Bible, everything comes together and flows like it should. And so that's why I don't see it. Plus, I've seen the gifts of the Spirit be such a blessing. Now, I've seen people that churches that function in the gifts of the Spirit, but they do it in an immature manner. And God will still move. Did you know that? He will. The Corinthian church was as immature as they came, and the Lord moved. And Paul even wrote to him and said, desire them. And you'd think that a group like that wouldn't need to be told to desire them, because they were all just, it was just a mess, their services were. And but he said, don't despise prophecies, don't hold back, but just grow up in how you operate in them. You know, your 10-year-old can mow the lawn, and then you can mow the lawn. There's a difference. You know? There's a big difference. Okay? If I ask Ian to do something and then I do it, there's a level of excellence that goes in that is noticeably different. If I make Ian's bed versus when he makes his bed, and he does good for 9. So my point is this. If you function in the gifts of the Spirit, but you're still a baby in that area, and you do it, and it just is like, you know, like when your kids were real little and they brought a picture up to you and it was supposed to color inside the lines, and it was like, whoa. You know, I mean, but you don't look at it and go, you got all outside the, they're two, you know? Apples are not purple. You don't color apples, but you know, you don't do that to your kid. You go, oh, that's just wonderful, you know? But you keep training them and growing them. Spiritual things are the same way. They're exactly the same way. When I first started functioning in the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm nowhere near perfect, so don't think that's what I'm saying. But when I first started to where I am today, I look back and I'm a little embarrassed. I'll be honest with you. You know, because I have people know me from then till now. And you just, you know how it is. You do. Have you ever done something stupid? And none of you? Oh. I don't even know why I'm preaching. I'll just give the mic to somebody else. You know, you do something stupid and, you know, like either... You know, around a family member or around a friend, and you've been friends for years and they bring it up and you still feel like a heel when they bring it up, you know. So sometimes, you know, that's just your natural side and you got to deal with that stuff. But we're growing in these things, okay. And I don't know if you noticed, but on Sunday morning when I had Mike transition, that was the spirit of prophecy. Did you notice? Oh, no, you didn't have a drum roll that said, thus saith the Lord. You got to pay attention. That's the spirit of prophecy. God was speaking by the Spirit through man, which is what God does. Because we are spirits, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and we can function in that. I'll just tell you this. When I got up and shared the scripture I did, what is that? It's the spirit of prophecy. When Mark shared after me, what was that? It's the spirit of prophecy. Because why? What's happening? The Holy Spirit is coming in and saying something that is breathed in that moment. Does that make sense? And you speak into those things. Do you know how many times people will come up to me after a service and go, man, you said this one thing and it is right where we're at and I have no idea where you're at? What is it? It's the spirit of prophecy. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through the yielded vessel to a person. Now, people think, well, yeah, but you're the preacher. You can do it standing at the grocery store. You may not even, all you have to do is make yourself available. And you don't have to roll your eyes back in your head and shake all over the place and try and act like the person that you saw years ago who you thought was spiritual. In other words, you can't judge spiritual things by physical manifestations necessarily. Okay? You just can't do it. But you can look at somebody and go, you know, are you having a tough go? Is your family having trouble? And they can break just like that. And you can just pick it up inside you because you're a spirit and you carry God's Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit in you knows what's going on and who's available and who will take what around you. Does that make sense? So just be aware of that, because the gifts of the Spirit are for you. They're for you in your house. They're for you with your kids. Make sense? My kids will never get away with anything. Ever. You say, oh, because you're such a legalist and you just lock down on them. No, I know the Holy Ghost. I know parents. I listen to testimonies of parents who are ministers. Some are not. Their kids would tell their parents they were going to one place, and they lied to their parents, and their parents got to praying. And they would come home that night, and they would ask names of people that were at the party they were at. And the kid would walk there. How was the night at so-and-so's? Oh, it was great. You know, they're trying to lie to their parents. And they would say, you know, how's Steve doing? And they're like, kids are like, what? You know, Steve? You know, the party you're at and you're talking to Steve? And the kid's going, what? You know, are you part of the CIA? No. I'm a part of the Spirit of God. I will know. I'll just tell you this. I think I shared this Sunday, but Taylor went to a birthday party and she went to a friend's house, and I walked in the house and I went, oh, I knew what it was. Nope. I left her there. I was okay. It was okay. She wasn't going to spend the night. We don't do the spend the night thing unless we know you. You know what I mean? I don't just let anybody, my kids don't go spend the night places. It doesn't happen. Sorry. Doesn't happen. I gotta know who the parents are. I gotta know what goes on inside that house. Because my parents, you know, they weren't bad parents, but I spent the night at people's houses and got introduced to things I never would have known about in my own house. Because, you know, it just happened that way. Yeah, it's the world. Yeah, so it's the nature. Satan's always looking for a way in. And I don't live in paranoia in any of this stuff, just so you know. I just listen to my heart. And I walked in, and I could feel the atmosphere of the house. I knew it was safe. You know what I mean? I knew Taylor would be safe for the time that we were going to leave there, because it was just a couple hours and then she was going to come home. So I go to pick her up and talk to the mom and I pick up Taylor, and then we're driving home and I'm just listening to the radio and I'm not saying anything. I'm just waiting for her, you know, because I already know. I already know what's going on, you know? She goes, I like our house. First thing she says. I said, yeah, I do too. I said, it feel different than that house? And she goes, yeah. I said, that's because we let the Spirit of God rule in our house. And she's picking it up. You say, what are you doing? I'm teaching you to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I didn't look at her and go, you know, this is the Holy Ghost, Taylor. You know, I didn't get wax eloquent, you know what I mean? Try and speak King Jamesy to her. I just said, this is the Spirit of God, you know? And so we're driving a little bit longer. I didn't say anything because this is not going to hurt her. This is a teachable moment, you know what I mean? And we're driving home, and she goes, when I get home, I'm going to hug Mom. So she did. As soon as she walked in the door, she went over to Mom, got under an arm, and just sat there on the couch with her. Why? Because there's a different atmosphere. You create your atmosphere wherever you are. You dominate that world. And so it creates that atmosphere. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. So when it comes to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we look to the inward witness first and foremost. But we are also open. Listen to me closely. We are also open to the more spectacular leadings of the Holy Spirit. As He wills. Okay? As He wills. One thing that I will never do is glorify the manifestation above God. I'm not going to do it. I've been in plenty of services where it happens. And people, Christians, are the weakest Christians I've ever met that do not put the Word of God first. I'm going to say this again, okay? Because I want you to hear this. I just know from experience, I've watched it happen over and over again through the years. The weakest, most carnal Christians I know put the gifts of the Spirit ahead of the Word of God. Because they are feeling driven and experience driven instead of faith founded. Does that make sense? If I live my life based on feelings, I mean, you know, do you know, get under the anointing sometime and then have the service end. Like on Sunday, the anointing of God was so strong in here, I could feel it wrap around me. But I'll just tell you this. I don't live by that. Because you know what? When I went home, no wrap. There's no wrapping, none. No bow, no nothing. Just nap. That was it. Just felt tired, wrapped itself around me. Why? That's just a natural feeling. But I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith. So that's why I can come and keep going and keep doing. Why? I'm not looking for a feeling. We're building this on the Word of God. Feelings are going to come and go, and I'm going to enjoy them to the max when they're here. You know what I mean? I mean, life is only so long, okay? And you got to squeeze the juice out of all of it. You know what I mean? On this side. And I'll enjoy that. But when we're done, when it comes time to spiritual warfare, I don't look for a feeling. I look for a scripture. It's the sword of the Spirit. If I look for a feeling, the devil's going to go, he ain't got nothing in his hand. But if I look for a scripture, watch out for that guy. He knows what his sword can do. We tried the feeling thing on a bit. He grew out of it. You know? So anyway, we will receive those spectacular leadings as he leads. Finally, we always judge everything against the Word of God. So, guidance by angels. We'll go there. Matthew chapter 1. And I'll get there real quick. And I want you to see this. Now, I can't go into all about angels. There's so much on angels. I looked up the word angel. There are 190 references just with the word angel. I didn't even look up angels. Just angel by itself. An angel by itself can do some damage. I'll just let you know. If you look them up, it's very interesting. But anyway, Matthew chapter 1 and then verse number 18. Am I in Matthew? Yes. Verse number 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example. Isn't that a nice guy? That is a man of, you can see why he was chosen. Was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold a what? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So we see two things here. We see what we might call a night vision or a dream. Okay? So you can have a vision or a dream at night that God spoke to him. And in the dream, what appeared? An angel. So there are two different things going on here. And as far as a spectacular leading, he's having a dream and he's seeing an angel. Okay? And then it says this. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you see why the Lord sent an angel? Come on. Yeah, this is Mary, my fiance. She's pregnant. She told me she got pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Come on, God needed to do something. You see what I'm saying? It's beyond your normal, you know, people are going, oh yeah, you're pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Okay, you know, if that's what you're calling the father, you know, of the child, they would think that way because it's spectacular if you think about it. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, So behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and he did not know her until after she gave birth to Jesus. Okay, so we see an angel working here. Go to Luke 1. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse number 8, it says this: So it was that while he was serving as the priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Skip down to verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Hint: if an angel appears to you and he tells you something and it's in line with the word of God, don't question him. Otherwise, you may end up mute. Okay? So, what is the, you know, it's his fault anyway, because he asked for a sign. Here's an angel standing in front of him, and he asked for a sign. Fine, you want a sign? You won't be able to talk. Oh, man. You know? Okay, so anyway, all that, go down to verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Who sends angels? God. God does. He sends them to do what? They're messengers. They're servants. That's all they are. Do you know you rank higher than angels? You do. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about you. Because you're a child of God. The Bible actually says in Corinthians that we will judge angels. Go read it sometimes. Very interesting. Angels are servants. That's all they are. They don't even understand why God wants us to be kids of His. They don't even understand. They don't comprehend the relationship that we have with Him. We are so far beyond them in relationship to God. They're basically servants. You do understand that. Okay. People sometimes, you say, why do you got to say that? Because there's people that worship angels. And they shouldn't. They're your slave. They're your servant. Because the Bible says they hearken to the word of God. And who are the ones that are called to declare the word of God? Angels are not called to declare or to preach. We are. And they have to hearken to that. God gave His most sacred, His most important assignment to humanity. And angels back that up. That's what they do. Okay, just so you know. Gabriel goes to Nazareth. Gabriel, you'll see a few times. Michael and Gabriel, those boys are popular. They're apparently top dogs among the angels. I don't know how that all works, but they are. We should do a study on angels sometime. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Angels and demons. That'd be a good one. We'll have to do that. People are like, I don't want to know about demons. Sure you do. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. You have authority over demons. They don't have authority over you. All right, so so he goes to Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So David and Mary both had encounters with angels before Jesus was born. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she did not rejoice, for she was troubled and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, she asked a question, but didn't, so did Zacharias, right? What's the difference? The heart motivation. She is asking a legitimate question. I'm not married. What you're telling me is I'm going to have a kid outside the boundaries of what God has set for having kids. And it didn't make sense to her. But then the angel explains it to her. He says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. I got to study that scripture. I didn't have time to do it today. I want to, though, because I want to understand kind of what that means. Because those words are specific. They're chosen for a reason. Overshadow, power of the Highest, come upon. Do you understand? All those things. They say something about the Immaculate Conception. So verse 36, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. She was barren from the time she could never have kids. And then verse 37, how do you like this? For with God, what? Nothing will be impossible. Nothing. Yeah, but I've been barren for, nope, doesn't matter. Nothing's impossible with God. He can look at you and go, youth, be restored. You know, he can do it. He knows how. He made you. He can remake you. All right. So then verse 38, then Mary said, now this is how we know she was a person of faith. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Do you know you should say that when you read the word and you read a promise from God? You should be like Mary. Let it be unto me according to your word, Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let it be to me according to your word, Lord. I receive. I receive from you the promises. Anyway, and the angel departed from her. Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. You can jot these down if you don't want to go to them all. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, talking about the Jews, and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming to him and saying, Cornelius. You know, when you're praying and that happens, it might make your prayer a whole nother level. Okay? So an angel of the Lord appeared. So we're proving that guidance happens through angels. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go stand in the temple and speak to the people the words of this life. In other words, an angel appeared to them and delivered them. Angels will deliver you as well and deliver a message. I said, angels will deliver you as well and deliver a message. I'll just tell you this. I have a friend of mine. He's an evangelist, Native American gentleman, travels around a lot, has a lot of miracles that happen. He one time was in a meeting, and I feel a preach coming. He was one time in a meeting, and this bald guy came up. He slapped him on the head, just whack. I mean, hit him hard on the head. Left for a year, went back to the same place where he was. And this guy was in the crowd going like this with his hair. The whole time he's like, what is wrong with that guy? He's just flipping his hair. And then after the service, the man walked up to him and goes, I was the bald guy that you hit on the top of that. He's got a full head of hair. You say, why would God do that? Because he can. You know, it's better than Rogaine. He shared another miracle with me. This guy is amazing. I mean, I could sit and talk with him for hours. But anyway, his dad traveled with R.W. Shambach and A.A. Allen. You ever heard of those boys? Look them up sometime. There's a lot of controversy around them. Don't listen to that. Just look up their ministry. R.W. Schambach. And when this evangelist was a young man in his teens, R.W. Schambach took him, and I'm having a hard time saying that word, and took him and said, "Now I'm going to go pray for all these people." He had a healing line. He had people come up for miracles. And he said, he told this man, "Come stand right next to me right here." And he said, "While I'm laying hands on these people, this miracle anointing that's on me is going to rub off on you." And it did. I mean, it did. I've watched some wild stuff happen with him. I've preached with him in tent meetings. Anyway, another time he was driving his vehicle, and he had a camper on the back, and he was going up a hill, and he went to pass another vehicle, and all of a sudden, as he was passing, guess what's coming down the road in front of him? After he was about three quarters past the other guy, a truck's coming this way at him now in the other lane. Doesn't have time to get over into the other line. He said, "God, I need a miracle right now. I don't know what else to do." Boom, turns into the mountain. The mountain's gone. He goes around the truck and comes back over into the other lane. Why? Angels. God's hand. Miracles. 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 Yeah. Big God. He made the mountain. He can move the mountain. You understand? Okay, Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. He said, 'Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down to Jerusalem.' So an angel gave Philip instruction." Acts chapter 12, verse number 7. "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up." Angels may hit you in the side to wake you up. You know what's interesting about that? Peter was scheduled to die the next day. And what's he doing? Sleeping. That's the peace of God. That's the peace of God. He said, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Can you imagine? It's like, have you ever seen Cops, the show? The TV show where they go and arrest everybody, you know? Imagine if the cops have the guy in the back, and then an angel shows up, and then the handcuffs just fall off. That's what happened. These aren't cheap handcuffs, you realize. But an angel, he doesn't even need a key. He can just unlock them. I know, that messes with your head, doesn't it? That's good for you. "And all his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.'" Put your shoes on, boy. "And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord." It was the first automatic gate. Jesus got a remote to everything, man. He does not care what's in the way. Okay? He's got a universal remote. It doesn't make a difference. It opened of itself, okay? "And then they went out down one street. They went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people.'" Down to verse 21. "So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on a throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' And then immediately an angel of the Lord struck Herod because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died." What a blessing. But pride will get you eaten by worms. That's all there is to it. So angels can enforce judgment too. Now, for us, you know, we're not in that position. But in this situation, the angel of the Lord just went, boom. And that was it. They're done. Herod was done. That was the end of that one. And guess what happened to the word of God? It grew and multiplied. Isn't that awesome? I could do more. Acts 27, 23, I'm not going to go there. Hebrews 13, 2 is the one I want you to see. "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, many have unwittingly entertained angels." You don't know. I'm not telling you to pick up hitchhikers. I'm just saying, angels can appear as men or women. You understand what I mean? Mankind. They can. there was a Charles Capp's daughter was going down in a rough part of an airport, and she was walking to somewhere to go somewhere, and it was sketchy where she was, and she needed to get on the next flight, and it was a long walk from one place to another. Anybody ever been in an airport like that? I have before. And she just said, "Angels, be with me right now." And so she got to where she was going, and everything was fine. And she was talking to somebody, or somebody had asked about her, or something like that. I think it was a friend of hers that was going to meet her, or something like that, in that same airport. And so she couldn't find her, so she went to the desk, and she said, "I'm looking for this person. They look like this and that, da 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 da." And the desk person there said, "Oh yeah, I saw her. She was with two massive guys. They walked that way, but nobody else could see those guys. They were angels." There's some tall angels. I'll just let you know, okay? There's some tall angels. So you can have guidance through angels. So I want to share just one testimony with you out of Brother Hagin's book. Because I'll be honest with you, I've never seen an angel. I never have. I mean, I'm sure they've been where I've been. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've been saved a couple of times from situations that look difficult. I know I've been in services where people have said they've seen angels, but I never have. I don't even know that I've ever been aware. I've probably been aware of, you know, a presence there, and it wasn't evil. Have you ever felt an evil presence, but then you felt the presence of God? Angels carry the presence of God, okay, because they come from His presence. But I've never seen an angel. My dad saw angels. And I've had friends and different ones that are more, I don't know why they will see some things more. They just will, or have, but I never have. So I was just going to relate to you a story that Brother Hagin talked about as far as angels. He said, "In 1963, my office occupied only the den of my little frame home in Garland, Texas. It wasn't really much of an office at that. Some men in another city contacted me. They said, 'If you will move your office to this city, we will set up an office for you. We will buy all the office equipment, hire the secretaries, and pay their salaries.'" Woo-wee! Preachers, that's like an answer from God, right? Well, you'll find out it wasn't. "You won't have to pay anything. Let's get some of your material published." Another man who was an electronic technician said, "Brother Hagin, if you will let me, I will make tapes of all your sermons. It won't cost you a thing. I will furnish all the materials free of charge." Those offers sounded good. You would think God must be in them. But about that time, I was praying in a certain group. We were having special times of ministering to the Lord. It was the kind of atmosphere in Acts 13, 1 and 2 speaks of, an atmosphere where God will move. We'll get to those meetings, those type of meetings here sometime. I was sitting on the platform beside a chair praying when suddenly Jesus stood right in front of me. I had my eyes shut. It was a spiritual vision. I did not fall into a trance. Standing right behind Jesus, about 2 feet to his right and 3 feet behind him, was a large angel. I had seen angels before, but never one that big. He must have been 8 foot tall or more, is what he said. Jesus talked to me about some things, and everything he said came to pass. Occasionally, while he talked, I would glance at that angel. When I did, the angel would open his mouth to say something. When I looked back to Jesus, he would not say anything. After Jesus finished his conversation with me, I asked, "Who is that fellow? What does he represent?" Jesus said, "That's your angel." Brother Hagin said, "My angel?" "Yes," he said, "your angel. You read in the scriptures that I said concerning little children that their angel is ever before my Father's face. You don't lose your angel just because you get grown up." Everybody got one, all right? And apparently they're 8 foot plus. That's a good boy to have with you, all right? So he says this, "Isn't that comforting to know? I have that big fellow following me around. Praise the Lord." I said, "What does he want?" Jesus said, "He has a message for you." Then I got so letter of the law conscious, I could have missed the spirit. I said, "You are talking to me. Why don't you give me the message? Why do I have to listen to an angel? Besides that, the word of God says, as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of..." You can imagine, this is Jesus and Brother Hagin having a conversation. You understand? How many know God's patient, right? We are his little children, okay? They are the sons of God. "I have the Holy Ghost. Why couldn't the Holy Ghost talk to me?" Jesus had mercy on me and patience with me. He said, "Did you ever read in my word where the angel of the Lord told Philip to go down the way to Gaza? Wasn't that direction? Wasn't that guidance? Didn't my angel appear to Cornelius and he wasn't even born? It wasn't even a born again man. Didn't the angel tell him what to do? He gave me several more New Testament examples. Finally, I said, that's enough. I will listen. Then I looked up to this big fellow and said, what is it? He started this way. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you not to let these men, and he called their names, set up an office for you. They have an ulterior motive. They will control your ministry because they will have put in all the money. You know, there are people out there like that. He said, then he called the name of the man who was the radio and electronic technician and said, don't let him have any of your tapes. He has an ulterior motive. If he gets them into his hands, he will control them. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that. Then I am sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you this. The money will come so that you can set up your own office, have your own books, have your own tapes. You will be the head of it, the sole boss, because I am going to tell you what to do and not some man. Within 4 months after everything is paid and cleared out, you will have enough money to get you headed this direction, for I have sent my angels out to cause the money to come. When that time came, I had $4,000, which was enough to do what the Lord had told me to do. That was the beginning of this ministry. Now, that was way back in the day. There are now, Brother Hagin has over, I think, 60 million copies of his books and things all over the world right now. Right now. And there are more than 200 of his Bible schools all over the world. And most of that happened after he died. Isn't that interesting? But that never would have happened if he would have followed these men. But the Lord sent his angel to warn him. So, my point in this is this. You can be directed by angels. An angel could appear to you and show you something. Now, I will say this. You don't seek angels. Okay? You don't go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, this is a really difficult situation. If you could just send me an angel. No. That's not how it works. You can seek God. He chooses what comes and how he answers. Does that make sense? Okay? Because the reason why I say that, and you saw in there also that you can have a guidance through a dream. When had a dream and that angel appeared to him. But the reason why I say that is because people tend to want to seek events rather than the Lord. Okay? And so you just want to be careful about it. But on the other hand, and in balance, we don't want to get so letter of the law that we say, no, you can't do this. We can't tell the Lord what he's going to do. Amen? But we can seek him and then leave the rest up to him. Okay? Besides that, I'll be honest with you, most of the people that saw angels were afraid anyway. Okay, so it might rattle you. I don't know. And I'm not, obviously, whatever God chooses to do, he will do. And we're okay with that. But we're going to seek the Lord and allow the other things to take place. And then we're going to go back to the Word and glorify God in it. Amen? Okay, so you can have guidance through dreams. Acts 2:17 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Notice all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters. That's youngins can do it. The young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. So if you're old, Merry Christmas. Okay? All right? So, and that's not exclusive. It's not just old men and young men that see visions. Not just young men see visions and old men dream dreams. He's just giving, this is going to happen in these days, okay? And he says, I will pour out, notice he says, and verse 18, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, which means what? Women can preach. I know some people think, oh no, the Bible says, yeah, you don't know what it says. Okay, it's gotten religified. And religiosified, but there's no scripture that says women can't preach. There were prophetesses in the Old Testament, okay? And sorry, I'm not Southern Baptist, so I contradict them on this one. And I believe I have scripture to back it up. I've been listening to a series on Brother Hagin about it, and it's really good. But he says, I will pour out my spirit in those days, men servants and maid servants, and they shall prophesy, both. Okay? So anyway, that's good to know. There's more there, but we don't have time to look at it. Everything that happens to you, make sure you judge by the word of God. Okay? The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse number 16, it says, take with you two or more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1 says this, this will be the third time I am coming to you. And then Paul quotes, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Then if you skip down to verse 15 in that chapter, he says, one witness shall not rise against a man concerning an iniquity of any sin that he commits. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. In other words, judge it. Remember in 1 Corinthians it says, let the prophets prophesy and the others what? Judge. Judge. You judge. Was it God or was it not God? Does it fall in line with Scripture? Okay? This is why it's important that you know your Scripture. In the Amplified, verse 21 says, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. Hold fast. Okay, hold fast. I think the mirror says this, test everything like one would test gold. I read this to you at the beginning, to determine its true value. Then treasure that which is precious with great care. And I want to read a testimony to you out of this book on somebody who didn't do this, just to give you an idea. Brother Hagin went and ministered in a church one time, and there was a lady that came forward for prayer. And when Brother Hagin said, when I laid hands on her, in a second of time, it just ran off in front of me like a television screen. I knew all about this situation. I knew it by the spiritual gift called the word of knowledge in 1 Corinthians 12:8. I saw this woman in a large tent meeting in one of Oregon's largest cities. I saw her sitting in the congregation with thousands of people. She heard the evangelist tell how God spoke to him in an audible voice and called him into the ministry. I do not doubt that. This woman failed to realize, however, that the evangelist did not ask God to speak to him in that way. All the evangelist was doing was seeking God. God chose the method. Amen? You see that? So we don't seek the method. We seek God. If he chooses a method, then he chooses a method. Okay? But we're not going to glorify those situations as long as we can share them and they're a blessing and we have the word first. He said, God just did it on his own. We have no right to seek that God would speak to us in an audible voice. If God told us he would in his word, then all of us would have the right to claim it. But this evangelist hadn't even particularly expected God to speak in that way. But if God wants to, he can, and he saw fit to do so in that particular case. At the time this woman heard the evangelist tell that, she was all right mentally. But then she began to seek God to speak to her in an audible voice, and the devil accommodated her. She began to hear voices. They drove her insane. She was now about to be taken into an insane asylum for the second time. God does not drive you insane. Hello. If you hear voices and they have fear and terror associated with them, they are not God. You need to speak to them and say, in the name of Jesus, that is not God. I will not follow that voice. And then you can go back and say, like Jesus did, my sheep know my voice. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I don't follow strange voices. I don't follow pervert voices. I don't follow murder voices. I don't follow rage voices. I don't follow. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't follow those things. I follow the voice of my shepherd, and I know his voice. Why? I'm his sheep. Bah. I'm his sheep. It was getting too serious. I had to. I also saw in the spirit her husband had taken her to the same evangelist for deliverance. She did not receive deliverance. Now her husband blamed the evangelist. Then her husband had taken her to another leading evangelist. She had failed to be delivered. Now her husband was angry with the other evangelist too. Do you know it's pointless to get mad at a preacher? Just so you know. Now her husband was angry with the other evangelist too. I knew she would not be delivered if I laid hands on her. Boy, you don't hear that much today. But he knew it by the Spirit of God. We cannot lose spiritual maturity. We've got to live there. And it's, sometimes it feels like we do, and it's just like a generation will go so far, and then, oh, we slide back down the hill. We got to be careful. Anyway, boy, that hit me hard. Okay, so I knew she would not be delivered if I laid hands on her, and then he would be angry with me, so I took my hand off of her. I said to the man, take your wife into the pastor's study. Wait there. When I finish this line, I will talk to you. After we finished the healing line, the pastor and I went into the study together. First of all, I said to this couple, I have never been to Oregon before. I have never seen you folks before. I don't even know if the pastor knows you. The pastor said he's one of our deacons. Well, I said, the pastor will tell you that he has not told me anything. Then I related what I had seen. The deacon said, that's exactly right. Now I said, I will tell you why I didn't minister to your wife. You see, she wants to hear these voices. Then I said, she is not that far gone mentally that she doesn't know what I'm saying. She spoke up and said, I know exactly what you are saying. Woo! That's a meeting right there. She knows exactly what's going on. Unless the Spirit of God reveals a person to you, don't assume you know. Because you don't. Because no one can see inside of another unless the Holy Spirit reveals. Okay? If you try and see into things without the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's what's called a psychic. And we don't play with that stuff. We leave it alone. Do you know there's a lot of psychic going on in churches? What they're doing is they're reading soulish things. And God doesn't function that way. He functions out of the spirit, not out of the soul. He functions through the soul of a person. But he doesn't, so you want to be, you got to know from the inside. You say you're drawing a hard line. I know, but maturity does that. If you want to see, God told me this. He said, Sean, even in connection with like these two subjects that we're on, the love subject we just finished and this one, hello, maturity and a mighty move of God. There's a reason. And that doesn't mean it just explodes all at once. I'm not looking for a three-week revival. Do you understand what I mean by that? I'm not looking for an emotional high. I'm looking for a tide that rises and rises and rises and rises and rises and only crests when we got to get out of here. So when I'm dead, I can be done. And hopefully we've trained the youngers behind us enough to just ride the, keep it going. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the goal. So that we don't lose ground. Okay? So anyway, I got over into prophecy. See, I told you it happens. He said, she's not that far gone mentally that she doesn't know what I'm saying. She spoke and said, I know exactly what you're saying. I said, sister, you are not going to be delivered until you want to be. As long as you like it this way, as long as you want to hear these voices, you are going to hear them. She said, I want to hear them. Guess where she ended up? Back in the asylum. She said, I want to hear them. As long as a sinner wants to live in sin, God will let him live in sin. But if he wants to change, God will meet him and deliver him. And even though a person is a Christian, that does not mean he loses his free moral agency. He does not become a robot, a machine whereby God pushes a button and he automatically has to do whatever God desires. He is still a free moral agent. As long as he wants things like they are, they will stay that way. But if he wants to cooperate with God, he can be helped. The woman said, that's the way I want it. I said, I knew that from the minute I touched you. That's the reason I didn't minister to you. As long as you want it this way, it's going to be this way. And then in bold type, he writes, do not seek voices. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them are without signification. In other words, none of them are, they all are saying something. There are how many voices in the world? Many. But I only follow one. The voice of my shepherd. And I recognize that voice when he speaks to me through his word. I recognize it in the word. I recognize the Holy Spirit when he speaks to me directly. I recognize the Holy Spirit when he speaks to me through someone else. Why? Same voice. It may come through a man. It may come through a woman. But it's the spirit of the voice. And it always falls into line with what? The word of God. Okay? Let me give you three quick points here. Becoming spiritually aware. Number one, meditate on the word of God. Genesis 24:63 says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening." If you have a field, go walk. Don't take your iPod. Meditate. Walk. Hear from the Spirit of God. Psalms 4:4, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed." Lay down. God's into naps. Meditate in your heart. Psalm 63:6, "When I remember you on my bed." See, here it is again. David must have been like a psalmist from bed. He just like write things down in bed. I got to take a nap. He said, "I meditate on you in the night watches." If you wake up at night, meditate the word. "I call to remembrance my song in the night." Psalm 77:6. "I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search." Ooh, I like that. Talk about being led by the Spirit. Okay? Joshua 1:8, he said this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." Psalms 119:15, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Psalm 119:48, "My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Verse 78, Psalm 119, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts." Philippians 4:8, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So meditation makes you strong spiritually. Practice the word. James 1:21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a natural mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But if he looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So meditate on the word. Be a doer of the word. Give the word of God first place. Psalm 138:2 says this, "I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name." God said that. Give the word of God first place. Instantly obey the voice of your spirit, the inward witness. When the Lord checks you, go, "Oh, I'm doing this." That'll help you stay spiritually sensitive. And then finally, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues or praying in the Spirit. Here are three scriptures that I will give you that have nothing to do with the public gift of tongues, but the private gift. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this in the Amplified, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God." In other words, it's a private prayer language. It's not a public gift. In other words, I'm not standing up here giving a tongue with an interpretation. This is a tongue that does not speak to men, but to God. "For no one understands or catches his meaning," listen to this, "because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." 1 Corinthians 14:4, Paul, the Apostle Paul said this, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies and improves himself." Not the group, himself. Okay, do you see that? I want you to see that, because you gotta look at this to see this. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So what did he just do? He delineated between private prayer language of tongues, because the Corinthians were all getting together and just yelling in other tongues, thinking they were functioning in a gift of the Spirit, and they were not a public gift of the Spirit. They were just functioning in their private prayer language, and it was confusion. Okay? That's why I don't encourage on a Sunday morning or in a meeting where we have people that don't understand those things coming in, I don't encourage everybody praying out loud in tongues in a mass setting. Now, there are meetings where I've done that, but they're believers' meetings. They're not general outreach meetings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, and I can show you from the scripture these different types of meetings. I mean, it's not hard to prove. But they're believers' meetings. So then people, the person next, if I pray in tongues with my wife, she understands. When we pray in the Spirit, she doesn't look at me and go, "What is wrong with you, boy?" We've prayed in tongues for years. For years and years. Why? It's a private prayer language. What does it do? It edifies me. Okay? It edifies me. Jude 20. Now here's three scriptures. All I need is two, but here's three. Jude said this, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Praying in the Holy Spirit. He said this, "Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal." In the Amplified, it says this, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit." If you ever feel down, pray in the Holy Ghost. I do it all the time. I do it. Why? You say, "What do I do? What do you do?" Your head probably does backflips. Absolutely, but I'm not praying out my head. I'm praying out my spirit. I pray by my spirit with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah, but your head doesn't understand it. Exactly. That's what the Bible says. Precisely. You got it. That's exactly what it says. You don't understand it. Why don't you understand it? Because it's not a mental prayer. It's a spirit prayer. You're praying out mysteries and secrets, secret truths and hidden things, not obvious to the noodle. You know what your noodle is, right? It's the bump up here. It's just from here up. Some Christians are completely noodle dominated. People say, "Well, if, you know, if God, you know, he should make it understandable for me in my head." Really? Because he said in his word that his things were foolishness to the natural mind. Do you know your natural mind thinks salvation is foolishness? Do you know some people get saved just out of fire insurance only? Which God will take you any way you go. Okay. He's not picking and choosing. But if you're going to go deep with God, you have to learn to get in here and not just up here. And I'll tell you this, you do it and God will make you look so smart. He will. You'll go. And people say, "Well, it's going to be a struggle." Hello. Welcome to Christianity. You're to fight the good fight of, let's pray. Now, let me say this too. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to, I will pray with you. I mean, we had a girl about a year ago get filled with the Holy Spirit on a Wednesday night. I'll pray with you if that's something you want. If you don't understand it, don't throw it out. Study. If you want help, ask. Ask. Because it is, you know, it doesn't determine whether you go to heaven or not, okay? But it will make you a much more effective prayer warrior for God. Absolutely effective. So far beyond effective what you can do in the natural. I could tell you testimony after testimony after testimony of what praying in other tongues has done for me and for Heidi and for our lives and being led. I mean, it is, I could tell you some wild stuff that you'd go, oh, and there's no way we could have known it except we prayed in other tongues. We didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to pray about the situation. There was no specific, you know, when you, it's, it didn't, nowhere in the Bible said it's 2012. Sean, you live at this address. You need to do this, this, and this with this situation. But I had the Holy Spirit and I could pray and I could follow my heart and not my head. Amen. So don't kick it out. If you're not ready for that, fine. I understand. Nobody's forcing anybody. You know, the only thing I might really push you on real hard is make sure you're saved. Well, I may pin you to the wall on that one. But when it comes to these other things, if you want to be effective, especially if you're in a husband and wife situation, because you can come together and pray together about things, is just beyond. So study, learn, develop. Don't be satisfied to sit back and go and in ignorance, okay? At least study. At least look. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you'll find out it's the same Spirit that wants you to be baptized or baptizes you in the Holy Spirit as the one that was there when you got born again and changed your heart. Amen? Father, we thank you for this series. Lord, we purpose to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Father, I ask, and I know you are, but we desire spiritual gifts to operate in accordance with your word. We know that they're going to continue to increase. We expect them. Lord, we pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And as we do, we know that you're continuing to increase in our lives. Lord, we are open to however you want to lead us. We will be led by your Spirit first and foremost. We'll look to that. If you do anything else, we're open to that as you will, but we will judge everything against your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.